Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us. Good afternoon, and the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room, where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. We give all praises to the Most High and Christ, and we give thanks for God's generous mercy, grace, and forgiveness. This week, we're going to discuss the presidential election, and apparently it is causing a lot of people to be stressed out. It's also causing rifts between friends and family. And joining me here today to discuss this topic, we have our brother Kabar.
Yes. Shalom, brothers and sisters. It's good to once again be with you, to be doing another Blog Talk Radio, to have the opportunity to interact with the audience and to share thoughts and ideas and understanding, and to have as a basis of it the word and commandments and understanding of Christ as it is written in the Bible. So great to be with everyone. Shalom and hello to everybody.
And also joining us on the program, we have our brother Kazakia.
Shalom to the brothers on the panel assisting me, or we all are doing this as a collaborative effort together. Giving all praises first and foremost to the Heavenly Father and His Son Christ. It is definitely good to be back, and definitely looking forward to exploring this topic and bringing about the edification to our people concerning the topic of discussion that is this afternoon.
Well, brothers, welcome to the program. I appreciate you being here to help out and to lend your expertise through the scriptures about this whole subject, about, you know, this whole election season. And Kazaki, I think that there's something going on with your audio, your phone, I think, possibly. There's like a little staticky sound. I don't know if you
really
hear that or not. Yeah, whenever you speak,
it
goes
away.
Right. Okay. All right. We'll just forget about that. But, you know, I've been watching things about this election, and Kabar, you brought up an article surrounding one of the things that has been in the news, and that is this whole thing about how there's people striving and stressing about this presidential election. And this seems to be something of a new thing, Kabar.
Yeah, it certainly is an environment, especially, you know, United States today, surrounding the presidential election and presidential nominees Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And, you know, there is a stark divide, more so now than there's been in recent years as far as presidential politics. A lot of it is being likened unto the Carter Reagan, 1980s. Era where you had, you know, the same type of scenarios and division going on. And you have an environment where now through social media, information is being turned over and introduced so quickly, and so much information is having to be digested almost on an hourly basis that, you know, it's unlike anything in politics that, you know, those who follow it or are familiar with it have seen in recent times. So you have a lot of input from outside sources, whereas before, especially in the 80s, and, you know, 50s on up to the 80s and 90s, it was very narrow as far as the viewpoint, because you had mainstream media basically can dictate whatever the grounds of discussions are going to be. But now through social media and alternative media and the internet and, mm-hmm. you know, all of these other platforms, people cannot interject, bring information, and disseminate it very quickly so as to change the daily narrative, you know, on an hourly basis in America today. So there's a great divide in the way people see America moving forward as a nation. You know, there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of dissatisfaction in the economy today and politics and international relations, and you have a lot of input from a lot of different sides. And as a result, as people become more polarized, it begins to show up in your own family. And I mean, I can personally, mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else can, but I can personally attest to this, the way, you know, you may see things in the way your immediate family. I mean, you're talking about mother, father, brother, sister type of situation, the way they see things, husband and wives, the way they see things as far as politics are concerned today. So it's definitely
right.
touching everybody at this point in time. So like you mentioned, the article we're especially looking at today is an ABC News article. If you want to introduce the headline, you know, you can.
Yeah, I'm going to go there, but you know, you're bringing up something really interesting, and what you're bringing up about the fact that we got varied media now that we didn't have, say, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I guess maybe 70 years ago is the advent of television. So most people getting information regarding an election would be either newspaper or radio. And at some point, you go back 100 years or so, it's not even radio. It's simply newspaper by word of mouth, you know, by the grassroots campaign. But now, like you said, you know, you got Twitter, all the social media and so forth, and you got YouTube and all those these different outlets to get information. So what it seems to that you're alluding to is that it's not so much that these candidates are that much different, or maybe you're not saying that, okay? So don't let me put any words in your mouth. But it's the fact that we're able to find out more about them quicker than we were in the past.
Especially, like, I'll give you an example, very clear. So, you know, we talk about the mainstream media news today, commonly referred to ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, you know, those, you know, traditional outlets that have been there for the last, you know, almost, you know, 40 years especially. But because of, you know, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, things like that, there's all so many different other platforms. And I can tell you, I'm seeing more pop up on YouTube every day where people can go and get a different viewpoint. I mean, whereas you really couldn't do that, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So as an example, because of a lot of distrust and biasness that people see in mainstream media and how it's liberal-leaning and you really can only get one side of the story, and it's, you know, even today we're talking about the WikiLeaks and how, you know, it's being clearly demonstrated through hacked emails that, you know, the Clinton campaign is basically running, you know, major networks, and their stories are actually being sent to her to be approved as to what's going to be said and how the story is going to be presented to the public.
Right.
Because you have that aspect of a WikiLeaks and a website where people can, you know, get this sensitive information and see kind of behind the curtain, that's changing the narrative. And you look at a person like where the mainstream media presents about Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump has a website and he has a Twitter account where he has, you know, over 20 million followers. And the mainstream media, because of the way it's viewed today by the public, is not viewed as fair or balanced or as reliable. Donald Trump can reach 20 million people in one tweet, whereas the mainstream media couldn't reach that many viewers, you know, in a week almost. So,
very good point.
So they could put a narrative out about Donald Trump, but he could communicate directly to, you know, his supporter and to anybody who really wants to follow him, whether they be, you know, Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, and say, hey, this is what it really is, and provide whatever he feels is evidence to that case, and now, you know, the national narrative is being countered directly from, you know, the person themselves to the audience, to you know, the American voting public. So that's what I mean by how these other platforms have basically changed the landscape really forever. So you really can't just establish one dominant narrative and have it stick the way it used to in the past. So because of that polarization, whereas, you know, 30 years ago, well, CNN said this about the person, and there's really no other source to go to counter that, you know, you didn't have a lot of polarization of families because that's all everybody had to go on. But because of this, mm-hmm. you know, alternative mm-hmm. information now, one family member could be going here, whereas another family member may be sticking to the traditional outlet, and now you have two different opinions or two different thoughts on it. There's, I mean, it goes much deeper, but as far as on the surface,
right.
as far as dissemination of information and just, you know, politics as it's presented, now you have these really contending forces, the alternative media and mainstream media, MSM.
Okay. All right. So I appreciate you really bringing that up and clearing up, because that was not, I didn't have any intention on touching the whole social media aspect. But for the benefit of those who may not be aware of what it is that we're talking about, I do have a clip that's going to kind of illustrate what we're talking about the strife and the stress that people being caused by this election. Here's the clip.
If you're the father of a voting girl, it probably feels like just yesterday that you brought your little girl home from the hospital. You fed her, you clothed her, you gave her unconditional love, and now that little traitor is canceling out your vote. Here's ABC's David Wright with a look at families caught up in the political crossfire in more of our series, Inside the Final 30.
We are currently on the way to LaGuardia Airport.
Mara Ackerman is on her way to pick up her dad.
We've always been pretty close for both positions. Now that I live in New York, my dad lives in Florida, we don't get to spend a ton of time together.
But this reunion may not be as sunny as most.
I am a little bit nervous.
The presidential election is sparking a family feud.
He's been posting on Facebook frequently about, you know, his support for Trump, and that's made me a little uncomfortable.
Hi! I don't even remember the last time you came to New York without Mom.
Mara and Ed are like a lot of families this year, caught up in the divisive,
the basket of deplorables,
sometimes downright nasty,
such a nasty
trust
woman.
Fund.
Fight for the White House. Because he's with him and she's with her, it can be hard to see eye to eye.
I think he's passionate. You know, that's what I do. You can,
right,
we can argue about this all day long.
How are we going to direct that passion?
So, Ed, can we talk?
Sure.
Think of this as an intervention a little bit, because Mara here has some concerns about your Facebook feed.
Really? That's how we're going to start? Just concerns about my Facebook?
So I was home in Florida. My dad was giving the boys a bath, and they go in, and they're laughing hysterically, but Dad is teaching them to say, make America great again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then not only did he tape it, but he posted it on Facebook.
Oh, I can see
so
how this started.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are so many dads and daughters having similar arguments that when Caitlin Moscatello decided to write about it for New York Magazine's The Cut, she had trouble narrowing down her sources.
Had women reaching out to me wanting to talk. The joke that sort of came up time and time again is that actually we need a support group for this.
Me, my sister, my brother, all of us were raised to think that we could do anything. My dad was always our biggest cheerleader. For me, it's been this disconnect. If I know that about my dad.
Donald Trump is that way about Ivanka.
Would I support someone who is criminally negligent? Is my question.
I had thought not, but
okay,
to me.
Okay, and I think not too.
But he is that. I think that's where we disagree.
You're
labeling,
that's
where we
right.
disagree.
According to the data, there's a stark generational divide at play here. This is what the election would look like if only eligible voters under age 29 participated, a wash of blue, and if only people over 65 voted, a totally different story.
I think the bigger divide here is gender. We know that women are supporting Hillary Clinton in big numbers. That's already showed up in the polls and early voting.
Hi, I'm Kathy.
My name is Kevin Lynch.
My dad is supporting Trump.
My daughter Catherine, on the other hand, has decided that she'll be supporting Hillary Clinton.
Really bad judgment.
Kevin's a North Carolinian.
You get him.
And what some might call a roots Republican.
Second only to my rifles and my pistols is my Harley.
Originally a Kasich guy, he's now begrudgingly joined the Trump train. Kathy, who lives in Maryland, leans to the left.
Hello, my left-wing radical daughter.
Hi.
Distance doesn't diffuse the political brawls for this father and daughter.
I want you to tell me how many jobs Hillary Clinton or any other Democrat has created. The answer is zero.
Wrong.
Why don't we see if we can get some guy who's actually created jobs?
If your car isn't working and you take it to a mechanic and he can't fix it, you don't take it to a plumber next. You get a better mechanic.
Both of them condemn Trump's infamous comments on the Access Hollywood bus.
I don't even wait.
If someone had said the things that Donald Trump has said to me, my father, I can quote him as saying, he would knock them out and then shoot them.
This was my birthday present to me.
But they rationalize it differently.
I don't want to be judged my whole life's work based on the stupid things I've said, nor do I think Trump should be treated that way.
Locker room talk is more about, oh, check out her legs, or, you know, that woman's beautiful, but it's not advocating sexual assault.
Each agree the other is stuck in their ways.
There is absolutely no way I could ever change his mind.
But say it's not important.
I love you.
Okay.
Bye-bye, sweetie.
I love you.
All right.
Bye.
From Mara Ackerman and Ed Katz, blood is thicker than politics.
What's Thanksgiving dinner going to be like?
Oh, don't even bring it up. This year was my husband's family's year for Thanksgiving.
That was mine forever.
I know.
Right.
He thought he was Jeter Thanksgiving.
That was my holiday.
Clearly, after November 8th, they'll have plenty of other things to debate.
At the end of the day, if you debate, it's healthy.
We're going to agree to disagree.
And maybe we as a nation can, too.
I hope so.
I'm David Wright for Nightline in New York.
Okay, now, brothers, the spin that they put on this particular clip, it was sort of like friendly fire, you know, this whole thing between the dad and the daughter. Yeah, they're taking different positions, but it's almost like, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, and he's a Redskins fan, so we got that little competition going on, but it's like really friendly, platonic. It's nothing mean spirited about it. Is that kind of the sense that you got from the clip?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so Kabar, this article that you sent over to me brings a little bit different light, if you will, on that whole thing. Because the article says nearly 40% of Americans report tension with family or friends over election. And tension is not what they described in that clip. All right. But it's saying nearly 40% of Americans are having tension with family or friends. And some of this tension is actually in the workplace because, you know, we make friends with the people we work with. So it's in the workplace. So now you go to work and say you're a Trump supporter and you work with a lot of Democrats. And if these people are really strongly supporting the Democrats, then you could end up feeling somewhat isolated because just because of your viewpoints over this election and because you're pulling for Trump. So this is what we're talking about. And sometimes this stuff can be a bit mean-spirited. I think that we've seen the clips of the people at these Trump rallies that happen to speak out in opposition. And before long, folks jumping on them, kicking them out of the rallies and so forth. And, you know, why is this stuff happening, brothers? Kazaki, can you shed some light on that? You know, why is all of this fighting and all the strife and the tension and the stress? Why is all this stuff going on over this election?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, one would think that Obama's candidacy for being president of the United States 8 years ago was more divisive than what we're talking about right here. But I guess I stand to be corrected. However, looking at it spiritually, I have to read, 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So the key words that I wanted to, or the attributes, excuse me, that I wanted to emphasize in that particular scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, where it starts off without natural affection. And for 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, where it says, traitors, heady, meaning proud, or boastful, high-minded, those two. So without natural affection, I mean, we see it, or we have seen it in some of the Trump rallies in which, you know, especially our people who are there, and they're being kicked out, they're being assaulted, excuse me, as they're being escorted from the rally. And, you know, everyone has their viewpoint. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. They are entitled to express themselves, okay, given and granted. However, to assault, and I'm using this as an example, however, to assault someone for having a differing viewpoint or a differing opinion, that's outside of the lines of thus saith the Lord in the scriptures, because we're responsible for Christ taught us that we're supposed to be lights. So wherein is the example of Christ when someone expresses a viewpoint or an opinion differing from the overwhelming majority? You know, can we read of an instance or a circumstance in which Christ assaulted someone because their viewpoint or their point of view was different from that which he was trying to teach? Brothers, please help me out. I can't find one. So the overall point is, these are the days that we're living in. These are the times that we're living in. Not to mention this ongoing candidacy between the back and forth rivalry between the two presidential candidates, and some of the muckraking. It's an old political term, which means basically to dig up the dirt on your rival, or to dig up the dirt on the opposition. The muckraking that's been going on between the two, it just sets up a really nasty ew when you just look at, you know, the things that are going on and the things that Secretary Clinton is stating about Trump, and the things that Trump is stating about Secretary Clinton, and vice versa. It's just this back and forth, and I hate to use the word cat fight, but that's basically what is basically boiled down to, this back and forth, bitter rivalry cat fight between the two candidates trying to discredit and assassinate each other's character. But spiritually, these are the times that we're living in. These are the days that we're living in, and the types of things that I just read are the things that are now prevalent and ongoing in our society, not just in our society, but in the world, period.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Go ahead, Kobar.
Yeah, adding to that, you know, just to backtrack a little bit, because you mentioned the tension in that headline, the CBS News headline about, you know, 40% of Americans report tension with family members or friends over the election. And like you said, that you know, that video that you just played showed a little bit of, you know, friendly fire type of thing. But when we talk about tension, you know, when you look tension up, definition, it tells you mental or emotional strain. Synonyms for tension is strain, stress, anxiety, pressure. So we're talking about something that goes a little bit deep in, you know, just friendly, well, okay, that's what you believe, well, that's fine. You know, we're talking about more of something much more deep and something much more active than that. You got a lot of people who, you know, who have Trump signs in their yard or bumper stickers on their car, and their signs in their yard are being burned, and their car is getting keyed because they have Trump signs. And you know, going back to that alternative media situation that we were speaking about earlier, even when, like Zach mentioned, the violence that broke out in the Trump rallies, then you come to find out through WikiLeaks and other hacks that it was Democratic operatives in connection to the Hillary campaign who actually planted those plants inside of Trump's campaign to actually start those violent interactions when you look at Project Veritas.
Is that right?
And everything that they uncovered. Exactly. So you really got some evil going on here behind the scenes in a great deal of it. And, you know, there's a lot of information and there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes in this country today. And that's the point that I wanted to get to is, you know, why, where's all of this tension actually coming from? Because really you have what's going on in America and in the world at large today is people battling over supremacy over people's minds and especially in America over the direction that the country should take. That's really a lot of where the divide is coming in between people. Now, the reason that divide is even there in the first place is because Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So what that scripture is describing is a world in chaos, a world in which righteousness in the light of the Lord, the understanding of his word is devoid, and now people are basically are in that darkness, meaning they have no spiritual understanding. They don't understand the scriptures. They don't understand the will of the Most High, and they don't understand the direction that they should go in. And so when you have these people who come on the scene, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and people say, well, okay, I think that leadership is better than the other leadership. Well, I'm going to get behind this person as opposed to that person. You have this extreme polarization because people don't understand the scriptures, and they're looking for that savior, and they are looking at Trump or Hillary as a savior or someone that can deliver them from the confusion that this world is in, and especially America in today. So that's what's adding to all of the tension and the divide and the strong feelings about what candidate you should choose and what it actually means in the long run. So I just wanted to add that into the mix.
Okay, so with all that said, especially the point that Zach and I brought out about the people at the Trump rally being jumped on, would you say that may indicate that the Democrats are probably a more peaceful party than the Republicans?
You're asking me, Zach.
No, I'm asking of you, Kabar.
You know, it's not even about that. According to the evidence presented through sources like WikiLeaks, you had consulting groups. And anybody can just Google it, you know, YouTube, Project Veritas, where there was a year-long deep undercover investigation in which these people are admitting on camera being filmed that, yes, basically we've been hired through various channels by the Hillary campaign to start all of the controversy basically going on, whether it be Black Lives Matter through George Soros or whether it be these Democratic operatives under the direction of the Hillary Clinton campaign actually sending out violent perpetrators into the Trump rally to cause confusion to get negative press covers. That's what's actually admitted to, and people have resigned from high-level positions. We're talking about people who was meeting with Democratic President Barack Obama 40-something different times just in the last year or two. So so if you want to say, well, where's all the violence coming from, if you want to use that as a starting point, as information, then obviously – you know, you have the Democrat side actually initiating which was called provocatoring, meaning the incitement of violence, which is a criminal activity in this country. So, but the larger picture, what I'm pointing at is not even about Democrat and Republican. It's about these are outward manifestations of something much deeper, and the much deeper aspect is spiritual blindness, spiritual confusion. And so people are attaching themselves to these political parties as a way of bringing about some kind of resolution or salvation for themselves and the country.
And I want to get into that. that whole spiritual aspect of it. But before we get that, I want to read something here. And Kazaki, I got a question for you. This is from that article, Kabar, that you shared. And it states here, it says, the majority party nominees, Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump, are two of the most disliked presidential candidates in history. An ABC News Washington Post released today found that 63% of registered voters see Trump unfavorably and 57% have an unfavorable view of Clinton, the highest such ratings for major party candidates in ABC Washington Post polling back dating back 32 years. So that's quite a few elections for these guys to have the most unfavorable ratings of any major party candidate. So, Kazaki, what it begs to question is, what should be expected of those running for president of the United States? Is, you know, people liking you? Is that one of the qualifications of someone running for president? What are the qualifications? What should it be?
Well, that's a very good question. What are the qualifications for a person running for president, other than being of lawful age and being a United States citizen? I can't really get into what the legal requirements are for a person to run and be elected.
I think you just stated that.
two of them at least. Two of them. I can't give you.
I think
all
that's
of them,
it. But I think that's it as far as legal requirements. I mean, you know, there may be some other things you have to do in regard to some paperwork, but essentially, a United States citizen, 35 years of age, I think is the qualification, and then you're eligible to commence the process of running.
Exactly. So now, at this point, the question isn't about so much the United States or what it takes to run and be elected president of the United States. The more pertinent question to ask is, mm-hmm. are we, as quote unquote citizens, are we in line with the will of the Heavenly Father and participating in a quote unquote democratic process, such as voting for a president or voting for a vice president? Or vice president, okay. Or secretary of state, or whatever,
things
like that.
Now that's an interesting twist that you brought up here. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like what you're saying is that instead of qualifying the candidates, qualify the voters.
Not necessarily qualify the voters, but what is the aim? And allow me to explain myself. Mm-hmm. Why are we participating in this process? Why? We want to see quote unquote prosperity. We want to see quote unquote peace. We want to have quote unquote protection. We want to have security. We want to have a quote unquote place so that we can raise our children, grandchildren, so forth and so on. We want all of that. Or people want that. The citizens of the United States, they want those things. But they, the citizens, and definitely our people, are going about it the wrong way. Now, allow me to read this scripture. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So the overall point being, according to the scriptures, we're supposed to be placing ourselves in line spiritually with the teachings and the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't translate into us going and standing in long pole lines, waiting to get in the booth behind a curtain and pressing the button for the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that doesn't look like that. What that looks like is us repenting. What that looks like is us meditating and studying the scriptures. What that looks like is us focusing our mindset on thus saith the Lord out of the scriptures. Now, don't get me wrong. That does not mean that we're supposed to be ignorant of things going on in the world today. That does not mean that. What that does mean is the fact that the things that are going on in the world today, that's what they are. There are things that are going on in the world today. We are here. Our people are here. And what our purpose is to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we see it within our lifetime or not. We're supposed to be preparing for him, because that's when the true righteousness, that's when the true rulership, that's when the true reign of the king of this earth will come into effect. What we're seeing right now is just basically smoke and mirrors, for lack of better words. Better yet, let me read the scripture right here. This is Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up, meaning Jesus Christ, the devil took Jesus Christ, up into the holy city and said of him, wrong verse. Verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, what I wanted to emphasize in that scripture is in verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So in other words, this is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, being tempted by the devil, and the devil is showing him the glory of all the kingdoms that are to come on this earth, even the glory and power of the United States. And the devil is saying to Christ, I will give all of this to you. I will make you the ruler of all of this if you will but bow down and worship me. Now, the point of the matter is this. What we're seeing, what we are experiencing in the year 2016 is still the remnants of the devil's kingdom. We're seeing the political process, the actions, the goings-ons, and abouts of Satan's kingdom. How can I say that? Why do I say that? I say that because it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter what you do or what part of at least the United States that you go, is the Holy Bible being upheld as the standard? No. Are the commandments being taught as the standard? No. Is the Lord Jesus Christ the person, the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, the person that we're supposed to be gathering ourselves unto? No. So it begs the question, wait a minute. Now, this country was founded upon the principles of in God we trust, but yet when you bring about thus saith the Lord God Almighty in the Bible, it's either shot down or frowned upon, or no, that has no bearing on what we're dealing with today. Then it begs the question, okay, whose God are we trusting in? Definitely not the God of this Bible. So now, going back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. That's so, so, so important, because with Jesus Christ, there is no political affiliation. With Jesus Christ, there is no muckraking. With Jesus Christ, there is no this happened in the past or Jesus Christ said that in the past and now it's coming back to haunt him. There's none of that. As a matter of fact, when you read Matthew chapter 6, and I'm not going to read it all, but verse 9 and 10, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the overall point being, the will of the Heavenly Father is already being executed on heaven. So when Jesus Christ returns, the will of the Heavenly Father will definitely be executed on earth, wherein righteousness will dwell. There will not be any corruption. There will not be any political parties or lobbyings or political affiliations. It will only be the established and forever reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the righteousness that comes with his return to the earth. So as far as what's going on right now, all this is basically, smoke and mirrors or actors in a play playing their parts. But we're not supposed to be fooled by that. We're supposed to be steadfast and grounded and established in the teachings and example of Jesus Christ and being lights to our people so that we show, wait a minute, there is definitely light, no pun intended, at the end of this tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel where that light is Christ. Back to you, brother.
Okay. All right. Well thank you, brother, for bringing those points out. Kabar, one thing that Kazakia did pose a question of is like, what's the point in voting? Well, in a lot of folks' mind, it's like a civic duty for one. You know, it's not, if you don't vote, it's not illegal that you don't vote, but it's a civic duty. And they're, especially for minorities, blacks in particular, they're people that actually died. They were lynched and so forth, beat, ridicule, so on and so forth, striving for this right to vote. So isn't that enough of a reason to spur you on to the ballot box?
Well, you know, here's the thing we were talking about, and, you know, we don't want to give anybody the impression that voting is a sin. And that's, of course, not what the brother is talking about. What we're doing is saying with the focus and giving perspective on how to view and look at everything, okay? So I'm going to come back to the question about the importance of voting. That people may feel out there, but we have to understand really with the focus and having the right focus and a right perspective. Because when we talk about the ABC News article about all of this strife going on among friends and family, it's precisely because the right focus and the right perspective isn't there. So because of this gross darkness and this spiritual confusion in the world today that we have, people get so polarized behind one or the other candidate because they see them as a solution. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
if you see them as a solution, then you see voting for this one or that one is of critical importance. But now we got to step back some. We got to step back and get perspective and get right focus. So, as followers of Christ, we got to have our heads on straight and be grounded and settled. And it'll help to give people that proper perspective and that proper focus and to help mitigate some of this tension with friends and family over the election. Because I can tell you, I've dealt with it personally in my own family, okay, directly. So here's how we do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. It says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." Okay, so people may be coming at you from a certain perspective, certain ideas, certain questions, but you got to be careful on how you deal with and address it because a lot of it would only bring more fruitless and unprofitable strifes, more questions, more problems. But what are we supposed to do? Verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience." Now we get the direct counter for the tension with the friends and family. So we, being grounded and settled in Christ, know, number one, we can't get into those tensions because we can't strive. When it says a servant of the Lord must not strive, that's not a suggestion. That's a commandment in how to hold ourselves in the understanding of Christ. That goes right into patience, temperance, long-suffering, fruits of the Spirit that Jesus Christ had. So we can't get into those strives. It is because people get into that striving that all of this tension between family and friends arise. So we can't go there. It says we must not strive, but what? Be gentle, right? Meaning have that humility. Humility to who? Unto all men, brother, men, women, it doesn't matter. Now it says what? After teach, being able to teach, meaning being able to give the understanding of the scriptures, and it says what? Patience. That's how we're supposed to be dealing. Now, what is it going to produce? Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Because when people don't understand through all of the strife and everything that's going on, they think they're battling with you with the question, but isn't that's not really what it is. The battle is really in themselves and their own confusion and their own lack of understanding. So we're supposed to be instructing them because they're actually opposing themselves because they lack that understanding. It says what? If God, preadventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. All that means is the hopes that through you setting the right example, the Most High, through the grace of Christ, will open their eyes to understand the truth. And that's where repentance comes in at, verse 26. And that they may recover themselves, oh, repentance, you got to make a decision. You got to make a change. You got to see things for what they actually are. You got to have the right perspective and focus so that you can put everything in its proper place. And it says, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The devil is the one who is promoting all of this tension and this strife. Out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So that's the problem that was going on. Once you begin that, through repentance, through the grace of the Heavenly Father, and through humility and following and seeking the scriptures, then you can have the proper perspective. You can understand, yes, the true solution to the entire issue is repentance through Christ. Repentance is going to eliminate over time, and especially the establishment of Christ's kingdom, the sin that is producing all of the problems and tensions, okay? So once that proper perspective is there, then people begin to see things for what they actually are. And now you know, listen, my mother, my father, my brother, sister may feel this way or that way about one candidate or the other, but my position is going to be, listen, here's the real solution to the problems that we're actually seeing. And these people, although they may do this or the other, are going to actually resolve the true issues that's out there. The Lord may use them to do one thing or the other, but the true, real, final solution is actually going to be Jesus Christ. And then they have a sense of direction, and then through that understanding, they can have peace and not get into all of this tension, which finalizes in John chapter 14, verse 6. Christ said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, meaning receive the kingdom of heaven, but by me. So once you have that ultimate perspective and focus, then you know, okay, listen, it ain't a sin to vote, but that vote is not what's going to bring about the solution that everybody's really seeking. So there you go with the right perspective and the right focus.
Okay.
May I read the scripture, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Go ahead.
This is Psalms 118 and verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, why does this scripture come to mind? You got this tension going on. You got a father that's pro-Trump. You have a daughter that's pro-Clinton. Or in some cases, it could be vice versa. The fact that you've got this tension in a family in which one family member is pro this candidate and another family member is pro this candidate, they are at odds because they're not agreeing in which is the better candidate. When the scriptures are telling us it is better to put trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, put our trust and faith in him than to put confidence in man or woman, for that matter. So the fact that you've got this type of tension going on, you're seeing, okay, where the focus is for a lot of families. The focus is their trust or their confidence or their faith in either of the two presidential hopefuls instead of trust, confidence, and or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And nowhere in the scriptures can you find where Christ lied? Nowhere in the scriptures can you find where Christ represented a political party. Nowhere in the scriptures can you find where Christ was lobbying for votes or lobbying to be elected. You don't find any of that in the scriptures. All you find in the scriptures in reference to Christ is the fact that he laid down his life for the nation of Israel. He taught, he corrected, he admonished, and he loved. Like the scriptures tell us how to love. He exemplified all of that in his teachings. He exemplified all of that in his example. Now, that being stated, how is it that that the standard has fallen so low from Jesus Christ, the standard for whatever generation you can think of, to what we're dealing with right now today?
Okay. All right, thanks for bringing that up, bro. Kabar, you mentioned something about how that we don't want to make it seem that we are saying that voting is a sin. So in making that statement, are you saying, I just want to make it clear what you're saying about voting. Is voting the whole institution of voting, this democratic process where the majority rules, is that A-OK process according to the scriptures or not?
Well, I mean, when you talk about being a servant of Christ, then we know the only you may have people, you may see a lot of aspects of as far as the U.S. Constitution that takes things or borrows things from the scripture, right? Like you look at capitalism, right? A person, you know, reaps the rewards of their hard work, right? You work hard, you try to do things, and you should be rewarded for that. I mean, there's nothing evil in that because the Most High says a man should eat of the fruit of his labor. You understand? So you have a lot of those aspects in there. But like I said, it goes back to having the right perspective and the right focus, so that you don't get boxed into this, you know, small little thing. So the thing is, as far as, okay, this democratic process, you know, I need to participate in this because this is going to bring about a solution. That's not going to happen. It will not, whether you vote for Hillary, you know, whether you're for Clinton or Trump, whether you participate in this democratic so-called process or not, it will not stop the evil going on in this world, okay? But the scriptures do tell us, you know, as rivers of waters, so is the mind of the king in the hand of the Most High. He'll move it so whether he will. So the Most High mm-hmm. will use men to do certain things to accomplish his purposes. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, we got to understand, no, even though no one can find a scripture or tell you that, well, if you vote, you committed a sin against God, you're not going to find that. But the whole thing mm-hmm. is understand and listen. Regardless of that, when you understand, okay, the solution is actually going to be you as an individual, you making the decision to repent. Because the course that this world is on is a collision course. It's been locked in, the control panel has been destroyed, and it's going where it's going. And there's nothing you can do to turn that ship around from crashing into the sun. It's over. But here's what you can do. You can go to the back of that ship, get into your escape pod, which is in the escape pod is, metaphorically speaking, Jesus Christ, repentance, and keeping his commandments. Get in that escape pod, hit the lever, and get out of the single ship. Okay, that's what you can do. You know what I mean? And on your way to the ship, you can tell people and warn them, listen, this is what's going on. It's going to crash and burn, but the solution is the wrath of the Lord is coming, but we have grace and peace through Jesus Christ, who has given himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that if we repent, we can escape the wrath of the Most High and receive the hopes of the kingdom. That's the ultimate goal that we want to get across to people, rather than trying to find a reason to make them feel guilty about voting or not voting. That you understand? So it's having mm-hmm. the right perspective.
Okay. Maybe just right so quick. Then, yes, go ahead.
This is 1 Samuel chapter 8. I want to pull an example of scriptures. This is 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of the second, Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Wow. Does that sound familiar? Verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel at Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Key verse. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And the reason why this example comes up throughout the duration of our discussion is the fact that people, especially our people, they're participating in this political process, in this quote-unquote democratic process, thinking that either one of these two hopefuls will represent the views / plight of us in America. But what you'll find out is, in reference to the scripture that we're reading here, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations, guess what? The persons, and it's been like that since as far back as I can recall, every president, every person who has ever held or maintained the office of president of the United States, had they really represented us or represented our plight or championed our plight or our current situation? The answer is no. But now let's go back to our verse 5. And said unto them, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Our people historically has always wanted to follow other nations. They want to follow other cultures, and they reject the Heavenly Father. We're seeing that even nowadays in 2016. Here it is. The word of the Lord is going out. The gospel is going out. Repentance is going out. And our people still reject that so that they can participate and have something to do with a process that has nothing historically, that had nothing to do with them to begin with in the first place. Now, verse 7. But the thing displeased Samuel when he said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And we're seeing remnants of that today. Our people still reject the Heavenly Father. Our people are rejecting Christ. So what we're seeing here is our people rejecting the Lord and not taking hold to the Bible and not repenting and not getting their minds right and not raising their children according to the scriptures and husbands not being true husbands like they ought to be according to the scriptures and wives not being wives how they ought to be according to the scriptures and definitely our people putting their confidence in mere mortal men via the process of voting and participating in this election, not just this election specifically, but in all the other elections. Because when the Most High reigned over us, did we have to worry about national security? When the Most High reigned over us, did we have to worry about hunger? When the Most High reigned over us, did we have to worry about our enemies coming up against us? When the Most High reigned over us, did we as a nation have to worry about a national debt? When the Most High reigned over us, did we really have to worry about health care, especially when we were keeping the commandments and following his instructions? We didn't have to worry about those things. But as we read in verse 5, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. No, we were more focused. We were more caught up in what the other nations were doing instead of being thankful for the King of heaven and earth reigning over us and blessing us. And all we had to do was basically humble ourselves and follow his instructions. Now we have Jesus Christ, in which through which we can repent and come back and put ourselves back in line with the Heavenly Father. But all these things that we're seeing, especially as they pertain to us as a people, is a result of us rejecting the Heavenly Father. And 1 Samuel chapter 8, from verses 1 to verse 7, is an example of that. So allow me to finish verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
Okay.
So our people continually reject the Heavenly Father. Back to you, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, Kazakia. Kabar, there's a scripture, I think it's in Ephesians 6, that says that, because we're talking about this whole thing about the strife and the tension between family and friends. And in that scripture in Ephesians 6, it says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So now, earlier in the program, you said that you wanted to bring something out about the spiritual aspects of this whole thing in regard to voting, campaigning, the election, and so forth. So if you would, at this point, go ahead and bring that thing out about the spiritual aspects of what we're talking about.
Yes. And, you know, we're not, you know, we have been actually speaking about a lot of the spiritual aspects. But, you know, we gotta look at, you know, the times we are in now, and that's why the understanding of Christ came, especially because, you know, we're scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. We're in the lands of our captivities. And that's why all giving all praises to the Most High, the benefit of his Son, Jesus Christ, only begotten, that it gave us wisdom in how to deal in these days and times. So let's go back in how we... you know, perspective, right back to perspective and focus, right? So Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High, right, the Heavenly Father, God Almighty, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. So that ultimately understand who's in control of everything. But then look what's going on behind the scenes. It says, and giveth it, meaning the Most High, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That's men on the earth. You understand? And it says what? And setteth up over it the basis of men. So yeah, even though you may see men running around doing this, that, and the other, when we go back to perspective and focus, we know ultimately this thing is in the hand of the Most High and is going to go the way he wants it to go ultimately. So we go right back to that thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, because that scripture you're bringing out, the Lord is setting up the basis of men. And if you're participating in this political process, am I wrong in thinking that you are participating in setting up the basis of men to rule over you?
Well, listen, bro. We can't get into hypotheticals, right? Because the method by which, however, the Lord is setting this stuff up, you know what I mean. You got to understand. And I give you in the same book of Daniel. You look at all of the sections of power, and that's what a lot of his revelation was going into. What? The Assyrians, Babylonians, Medes and Persians, Greeks, Romans. Who voted any of those governments in? I ask you.
Well, in those cases, from my understanding, is they came in by their own power, their own ability to influence other people, either through their charisma or their strength of will, to exert influence over people, and sometimes it was just through sheer military might, right. But my understanding is that first democratic process took place with the ancient Greeks, which this, what we're talking about now, predates them by a few hundred years. So that democratic process had not started at this point at the time of Daniel.
Exactly. But even if you want to go back to the Greeks still, you know, even if you go back to the Greek point, from the Greeks going forward through the Romans to what we have today, still, even including those early aspects of the quote-unquote democratic process, we have to understand ultimately who's in control of all of that going on. You understand? Because mm-hmm. even though you know, we say we have a democratic process here, let's take U.S., for example. Yeah, you have the popular vote. But the popular vote doesn't necessarily dictate who gets into office, because you have the Electoral College, which is a smaller group of people who actually make those decisions, and they say it's supposed to be on a popular vote. So we got to understand it's not as if you're the one putting them in there, and we don't want to give people that idea that, okay, this person is here because you put them there, or because, you know, it's your fault, you know what I mean, or this, that, and the other. Ultimately, it's understanding, like the scripture says in Daniel 4:17, who's ultimately in control and who is orchestrating the geopolitical events going on in the world. Okay.
So that being the case, though, what's the point of me voting at all? Because whichever way, if I vote or I don't vote, it's still not my choice about it. You know. So what's the point?
Well, I mean, the thing is, that's why I'm not gonna have that discussion as far as telling the person whether they should or should not vote, because that's not the focus we want to get into. And when you go right back into Timothy's, you get into strives and all of the strives and foolish questions and everything of that nature. You understand? That's why we read that. Because if somebody try to pin you down on, okay, so what scripture says we can't vote? What are you gonna say? You can bring the argument of, well, it's this process and the world is wicked, so on and so forth. But we vote with our dollars all the time. We you know what I mean? There's a whole that argument could go in any direction. So that's why we don't get. That's why the brother Paul, through the Spirit, gave the understanding about foolish and unlearned questions. Should I vote? Should I not vote? Unless I could give you a scripture that says it's a sin, I'm not going there. What I'm going to tell you is, listen, this is where your focus needs to be. And ultimately, that's not the solution. Okay? That's not what's going to bring about the change. So when you understand, you start dealing with people, it's not about getting into, you know, okay, the list of do's and don'ts. You get into, okay, this is what the scripture says. This is how we're supposed to be looking at and understanding this. Now you got to make decisions based on thus saith the Lord.
Right.
I'd like to add to that if I could. Because when you read in Romans, the 13th chapter, it says something, Romans 13:1, it says something very important. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So every power, every government, from as far back as you can recall until now, and the governments that will come into power from this day forward, they are there. They are placed there because ultimately it's the Heavenly Father that wants them there for his purposes, whatever those purposes may be. Our job on this side is to make sure that we are in line with what thus saith the Lord dictates of the Holy Scriptures through the example and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here again, I have to emphasize the point. For there is no power but of God. So whatever power that exists, it comes from the Most High. Whatever government that exists, it comes from the Most High. Whatever kingdom that exists, that rules on this earth, it ultimately comes from the Most High, whether it's the United States here or the European Union there. UK and its parliament over there in Europe, it's, they exist. They have power. They wield the authority or the influence because the Heavenly Father is allowing them to come into existence to wield that power, to exercise that authority, or to exercise that influence. It's all because of the Most High. And if for our people not thinking that went through that process of earning the right to vote, okay, that's what you went through, that's what you earned, but guess what? No matter how many times you stand in a poll and you cast your vote, the Most High has the final say so. Not us as people or processes would have us to believe. The Most High has the final say so. And all that's being emphasized here is that whoever wins this election, or the election 4 years after this, you know, the election 4 years after that, until the day that Christ returns on this earth, they win it or they come into those positions of authority, whether at the national level, international level, local level, regional level, or even state level. They come into those positions of authority or those governments or those regimes are being established because it is the will of the Lord God Almighty. And it is our job, here again, to reemphasize the point, it is our job, it is our responsibility to recognize what's going on, to see what it is that is happening, and not put our faith/confidence in men, but to put our faith/confidence/hope in the Heavenly Father and His Christ.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Kazakia. Brother, so it looks to me like it's about time to go ahead and think about wrapping things up here. So I'd like to go to you for your parting comments. And I'll start with you, Kabar.
All right. Yeah. You know, we all going to, a lot of us will, you know, encounter aspects of this tension between friends and family. And, you know, hopefully this show has gone toward bringing more edification as far as our approach and how we're supposed to deal with situations like that, and really providing the example, the perspective, and the focus on what the real solutions need to be according to the scriptures. But let me just hit two scriptures in particular, because that's why when Christ prayed, you know, that the Most High not take us out of the world, but that He keep us from the evil, right? So that we're being examples in the world. Jeremiah chapter 29, I read verses 4 and verse 7. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away captives from Jerusalem unto Babylon." And then He goes into telling them to build houses and plant gardens, to get married and give your sons and daughters into marriage, that we may be increased and not diminished as a people as a whole. In verse 7, He says this, "And seek the peace of the city, whether I have carried you away captives, and pray to the Lord for it." So they pray to the Lord for what? The peace of the city in Babylon where they went. "For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace." So, you know, we have an active role to play as far as what we're supposed to be doing and the example we're supposed to be setting. It's not as if, okay, well, hell, you know, all hell can break loose here and we'll be fine. No, there's going to be an effect in that. That's why the Most High tells you, seek the peace of the city, for in the peace of it you shall find peace. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to be doing in these days and times now in the places where we're carried away captive. But the scriptures give an even more clearer view on that when we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says this, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority." Okay, so we're praying, going right along with what it says in Jeremiah, for these people who are in authority, so on and so forth. But what's the purpose? The purpose is this, verse 2, "that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." So whatever stance you take, whether it be Hillary or whether it be Donald Trump, at the end of the day, for me looking at these scriptures, is about whoever the Lord will use to bring it to a lot of the peace in the city, that we may live quiet and peaceable lives, that's the one I'm for. So that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, bro. Kazakia, your parting words for the audience.
Yeah, I have two scriptures. First off, in Proverbs, please bear with me a second. This is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 31, and it says, "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways." The reason why this comes to mind as during this discussion is the fact that this process, and I'm not referring to just voting, but this overall democratic process, it's a process that was developed / devised by other nations, okay, that it had nothing to do with us. Our king is Christ. So that being stated, we weren't supposed to be jealous or envious as to how the other nations go about choosing their officials to govern them, okay? But the scriptures tell us, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. All these nations with their other processes and political agendas, they've oppressed us at one form, fashion, or another, in one form, fashion, or another, during one time or another. But the Most High told us, don't envy what they do. Don't envy what your oppressors are doing. Don't choose their ways. Don't adopt their customs, their ideologies. Adopt them as your own, and then you start participating and doing the same thing that these other nations, your oppressors, have done. And that's what we as a nation have done. In other words, we've done exactly what the Heavenly Father has told us not to do. And now, as a result, we find ourselves as a people, as a nation, lost. We're lost spiritually. We're lost, definitely spiritually. We're lost emotionally. We have our focus and our confidence and our faith in mere men who represent their own agendas, lining and fattening their own pockets for their own personal gain, instead of putting our faith and our confidence and our allegiance to the Lord, to the Lord God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ. That, and also this is John chapter 18. Christ tells us something very, 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 very important. John chapter 18, verses 35 and 36. So this is Christ as he was being interrogated by Pontius Pilate. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And those of us who are striving to follow the example of Jesus Christ, this is the kingdom that we are truly hoping for. This is the kingdom that we're sitting and waiting patiently for. And Christ is the king with whom we should place our allegiance, our faith, our fidelity, not in presidential hopefuls, because the kingdom of Christ, that is eternal. This that's going on right now, this is just temporal. It will come and it will go. But the true kingdom, wherein dwelleth righteousness, that's coming with Jesus Christ. And those of our people who want to see that kingdom, that want to partake of the true righteousness, living in a society in which we are protected by the Heavenly Father, living in a society in which there is true justice, we have to repent and establish our mindsets in the scriptures and follow the example and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to reemphasize the point, that does not mean that we turn a blind eye or we're ignorant to what's going on in the world today. What that means is our focus is not on things that's happening in this society, but our focus is on the things that are in the scriptures as we go about preparing ourselves spiritually for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it.
Okay. Well, brothers, thank you so much for joining me here today in the virtual living room to discuss this topic about the strife that's going on between families and friends in regard to this 2016 presidential election. I also want to express thanks and gratitude to those that are listening in now and those that may listen in the archive. But most of all, the thanks goes out to the Most High God in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So until next time, I'd like to bid everyone peace. Shalom. Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com. Or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High in the name of Christ bless you. Shalom.